Tomas, Tomas, we are back, my friend. You know what that means. Time for a little bit more Tasty Live with Confirm and Send. But before we do, let's take a quick look at the market. You want to?
Sure.
Basically unchanged. Surprisingly green, three of the four indices. Even the S&P is now up five, trading about two handles off of their highs. NASDAQ down 12, was down around 30. Russell up five, and the Dow up 27. Volatility, which was green a moment ago. But you can see here, a very tight range on volatility. Very tight range on the market, 10 handles on the E-mini S&Ps, basically unchanged for the day. Bonds, though, have had a nice move to the upside, 116.23, up 16 ticks back in kind of that range between 119 and 114, almost right in the middle. Bitcoin hanging out at 63,600. Oil down 42 cents for all the fears of escalating Middle East tension. Oil down 42 cents. Gold down around $6.80. Silver down about a penny and change. But you can see silver's had a big move yesterday. Net gas basically unchanged also. Sad enough for earnings. Disney, I guess, is the one most recognized by everybody. 108 and change, down about $8 now. Just a little bit outside, I think, the expected move. DDOG is down $14 or so. And PLTR down around $3. That's all I got for you. Cool, all earnings. Earnings today, Uber, Lyft, Trip, Twilio, Upstart.
Yeah.
Win.
It's going to be slim pickings. Mm-hmm. Confirm and send. It's Tuesday, May 7th, and lots of emails last night, like always. So let's see what we got. This person writes, I have a question about micro futures. So remember, the mini futures is kind of the regular size futures now. And the micro futures are usually 1/10 the size. Usually. They're not always perfect 1/10, but most of them are 1/10. So if the volume in the micro contracts is small, but the mini contracts trade a lot, can you trade the micros without worrying about too much slippage?
Yeah, they're all the same. You're getting a lot more volume in the smaller product because of the nature of the product. It's just a smaller product. That's all. No, you can trade. They're both very liquid.
Yeah, if you
have no slippage.
If you have if the mini contracts, which are the regular contracts, if the mini contracts are trading a lot, you can trade the micros. There's no risk about like liquidity risk or stuff like that. Maybe they're one tick wider, but you can get filled in the middle. Because there's somebody out there that's arbing the micros and the minis all day long. Right. So the answer is you're only gonna be off by a fraction of a tick.
Fraction of a tick, right.
Yeah. So the answer is yes.
And it's only going to be there for a fraction of a second.
Yeah. I mean, and again, there's always some firm that is arbing the micros and the minis. Always. So you're always going to be able to get a perfect market. There's no risk at all. I mean, it's a risk to what you choose to do, but there's no risk about liquidity.
Directional risk. Other than that, yeah. You're all good.
Yep, exactly. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. So this person writes, I have an option in gold /GC that expires at the end of this month. I want to roll to June. Is there anything different I need to take into consideration when I roll a futures option? This is my first time doing it.
So I'm assuming that they have a May option at 21 days right now?
Exactly.
Okay, so they have a May option at 21 days. Is there anything they have to consider? Nothing they have to consider other than the future price that they're rolling into may be higher or lower. In this case, it's going to be a little bit higher. So your strike, for argument's sakes, if it was at the money this month, you actually have to roll up $20 to be at the money again.
Right, month. So you're
going to consider. I mean,
here's what you have to do. You're just going to roll the same delta. So the only difference in if you're rolling options in a stock, you're always rolling to the same strike. But in the futures world, because each futures contract is like a different underlying, because they have a different settlement and everything else, then you are going to roll to the same delta. So if your delta is 30 in May, then you roll to 30 delta in June. So you just adjust the strike on June. But it's like a diagonal, but it's the same exact process. You're doing it 21 days, same thing. Okay, just make sure you go to the equivalent strike. Sometimes a little higher, sometimes a little lower. That's it. Otherwise, there's no change. Next slide. Can you please rank, in order of capital efficiency, the investment products you trade? It's a little broad.
Sure.
So you don't have to be that.
I got you. Any future that you trade is going to be more capital efficient than any stock that you would want to trade. So futures are always more efficient than stock.
Yeah, because if you're doing this based on capital efficiency, futures or futures options
are going to be
more capital efficient.
That's correct. And then the options side I was going to get to, futures options are actually more efficient than the options in the equity market. But watch out for the multiple. Sometimes it's 50 cents on the dollar. So it's 100 on a dollar. Sometimes it's a fraction. Be careful there.
So if you're going to rank in order of a capital efficiency, the most capital efficient are futures and futures options. The least capital efficient is plain stock. And in the middle is listed options. So just so you understand capital efficiency, futures use about, in general, you're about 16 to 1, let's call it, as far as capital. Options are about 5 to 1, and stock is 2 to 1. That's capital efficiency for you. And then Bitcoin is fully paid for. So if you're doing digital assets, that's the worst in, as far as capital efficiency. Stock is the next worst. Options, and then futures and futures options. Futures and futures options have the same kind of requirements. Let's go to the next slide. So this person writes, why is it on some underlyings there are strikes every $5, but then they switch over to every $10? What's the point of that?
Yeah, it's one of life's mysteries, because this is one of the things that annoys me the most, because we have been able in my lifetime to go from just quarterly options to monthly options to weekly options to daily options, and they always told me they don't have enough bandwidth to add any extra strikes or anything else like that. So why they do this is beyond me. I can't figure out. When you get the answer, let me know. If they tell you it's bandwidth, it's bullshit.
It is a mystery to all of us. It's always been a mystery to us. The exchanges will say that it's a combination of bandwidth and the primary market maker's decision on how many options they want to list. When we say bandwidth, we don't mean bandwidth like there's not enough there's not enough power or something like that. There's not enough, they don't have enough data or anything like that. When we say bandwidth, we mean it is very difficult to update the tens of millions of quotes per second that they need to update. And that's the challenge. It's not that they don't have the bandwidth to do it. It's that they don't have the technology sometimes to power everything that has to be done. The exchanges can't actually handle it. But like Tony said, I don't know if that's a valid reason anymore. Sure doesn't sound like it to me. I'm not sure why some of these firms, maybe it's legacy technology, whatever, but I agree with you. I think they should be every dollar, or at the worst, every $2.50 or $5, never $10.
And it's silly why some months have them and then the next month that's actively traded doesn't have it. So
yeah, doesn't make. I just think it's resources. So the last couple of weeks have been filled with earnings and economic data, giving the markets a reason to move around. Today, they're talking about yesterday. Yesterday felt like the longest day ever. How do you avoid doing things that you might not otherwise do, aka dumb trades, when things are this slow?
It's a great question. I think Tom is more inclined to look for trouble in places he shouldn't be looking for trouble than I am. It comes, I think, after years of discipline. But for me, it really is just, you know, keeping your mechanics in check. Keeping mechanics in check, you'll be all right.
We've had, when the markets are flying all around, it's busy and stuff like that, you know, you kind of get the adrenaline going and it's good. And
easy to find trades, not easy to
easy to find trades. It's never easy to trade.
Never easy to make money. It's just easy to find trades.
But there's definitely more stuff going on, so it's easier to find stuff.
There are times for my podcast when I sit there and I happen to do my podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. That's right, today's Tuesday. You'll get yours by noon. Well, I'll sit there for 15, 20 minutes and say, I can't find a trade because nothing's going on. Volatility's, you know, is depressed as it is now. Today will be one of those days where it'll be a struggle, but don't worry. I'll come to bat for you, no pun intended.
But surprisingly, you know, like I thought yesterday was dead, but it was dead in the futures world. But in our world, we were actually kind of busy. So it's kind of weird to me. I felt like yesterday felt like the longest day ever too. And how do you avoid doing dumbass things when it's really slow? It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Because we force ourselves sometimes. And I don't like doing that either. So I get it. But you know what? That's part of the game. You know, you can't force stuff.
Agreed.
Let's go to the last slide. So this person writes, I've noticed on your trades, you go inverted less frequently than you used to. Am I correct in my observation? If so, why are you not going inverted?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. We are going less inverted and electing to kind of buy the guts and sell the wings and even maybe roll to the back month a little earlier than we did. Trading evolves. We've done the research. We spend the money to do the research. So we take the research as gospel for us and try to lean into that to give us the best opportunity to win. So
when we first
use less buying power too.
When we first built Tasty, we definitely went inverted more than we do today. Today we happen to buy the guts and sell the wings. The markets have gotten really tight over the last, you know, 5 or 7 years. And now it's sometimes easier to buy the guts and sell the wings and recenter. We have a tendency to roll until we recenter rather than roll until we go inverted. You could do either. Like I went inverted yesterday on a couple of trades, but I also, you know, recentered a bunch of trades.
Sure.
We're just less inclined to go totally inverted now. We have a tendency to roll as much as we can and then buy the guts, sell the wings, and recenter. But it doesn't mean anything. It just means that we think the markets are tight enough that you know we can put ourselves in a position where it's just easier to manage trade going forward. That's all it is.
Yep. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Let's take a quick 90-second break. You want to?
Sure.
We'll come back. We got an option jive. We'll be back in 90 seconds with Tasty Live.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Live, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live, Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live, Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.